Spotlight. Good evening, listeners. Welcome to the Spotlight program. I am Anubha Rohatgi, and the topic for discussion today is India's achievement in eliminating Naxalism. Mr. M.P. Nathaniel, former Inspector General CRPF, now joins me in the program to talk about this issue and share his insights. Mr. Nathaniel, welcome to Akashvani's Spotlight program.
Thank you so much for having me on your program.
Mr. Nathaniel, with the center's deadline to eliminate left-wing extremism ending tomorrow, that is March 31st, we have seen some of the most wanted names such as Papa Rao and Sukru giving up their arms last week. And just today, another top leader, Telluri Narayana Rao, surrendered in Andhra Pradesh. From the time that Naxalism was rampant in the country to the present, how do you see these developments in the government's resolve to have a Naxal Mukt Bharat or to end red terror?
I would in fact give much credit to the Union Home Minister Shri Amit Shah, because he set a deadline. Earlier, we were never operating with this kind of a deadline ever in our operations against the Naxal. But this time, since he had given a deadline, but he did not merely give a deadline, he even gave the required support to the security forces to go ahead with the operations. Like earlier, we did not have so many battalions in that area. Mm-hmm. But consequent to the improvement of situation in northeastern region, we were able to pull out forces from that area and induct them in Chhattisgarh and other areas affected by Naxalism. And because of that, we were then able to penetrate the areas which were the hotspot for the Naxals.
Union Home Minister Amit Shah spoke in Parliament on India's decisive fight against Naxalism. We have a report on this. Let's listen to that.
Compared to 2004-14, incidents of Naxal violence have declined by 56%, while fatalities among security forces have dropped by 75% and civilians have dropped by 70%. Since 2014, a total number of 706 Naxals have been killed, 2,218 have been arrested and 2,839 have surrendered. Since 2014, the top 40 Naxal leaders have been eliminated, including notorious figures such as Baswa Raju, Pramod Mishra, Bachcha Prasad Singh and Prashant Bose. To achieve the goal of a Naxal-free India, the government established a total of 528 fortified police stations. Over the last 6 years, 406 new security camps were set up and 68 night landing helipads were constructed to enable security forces to conduct operations in inaccessible terrain even at night. Assets belonging to Naxals, totaling 97 crore rupees, were also seized. State police forces, the Bharatiya Battalion, which comprises of the surrendered Naxals and the Cobra and DRG battalions, played pivotal role in the campaign. As the region became Naxal-free, the security cordon in those areas was strengthened and development initiatives also gained momentum. Over the past 11 years, over 3,300 crore has been released to states affected by left-wing extremism. Diksha Saxena, Akashvani News, Delhi.
Mr. Nathaniel, for long, large parts of the country bore the brunt of Naxal terror, areas in Andhra, Odisha, Chhattisgarh, Madhya Pradesh, Maharashtra, even Andhra Pradesh. And this saw immense loss of life and property in the affected regions. How are the anti-Naxal strategies and policies of the Modi government different from the earlier ones? And how have they helped in tackling this menace?
As I told, because of the deadline given by the Union Home Minister Amit Shah, the security forces got activated because they had to complete the job by that particular deadline. But they could not have done it independently on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to rely on the government to give them the supporting weapons and the other technical know-how so that they can proceed further with conducting operation. Initial problem was that of entering into the Abujmad area,
yeah,
where it was impossible for the forces to enter without suffering heavy casualties, because they would go away Kachar Road and while they were returning, they would generally be ambushed, mm-hmm, and we would suffer heavy casualties on the part of CAPF. But once the construction of roads started, initially when the attempt was made, the Naxals, they came and destroyed the equipment which were meant for construction of roads. Apart from that, they threatened the contractors and even the laborers who were working there. And many of them had to flee. They said they will not be able to carry out the job. So because of that, they had to bring in the Border Roads Organization, which is under the Ministry of Defense. Initially, they constructed some stretch of road. After that, the other contractors came. When they found things are improving, they came and started the work with the security being provided by the CRPF. And let me tell you, CRPF suffered heavy casualties initially, even while they were giving protection to the contractors and the labor who were working there. But in spite of that, the roads were constructed. And once the roads were constructed, the penetration of the security forces into Abujamrad area became very easy and convenient, and we were able to establish over 100 forward operating bases in these Abujamrad areas, and the villagers now had easy access to the security forces. Prior to that, they had no contact with any representative of the government because nobody would dare enter the jungles. The only contact they had was with the contractors of the Tendu leaves. They used to work for the contractors, get some money out of that. And these Naxalites, they started collecting money from the contractors for the Tendu leaves collected by them. So once the roads were constructed and the forces entered into these areas, then we were able to get a good control over the area. And once we got the control, the Naxalites were cut off from the villagers. They could not get the information and the other provisions that they expected from the villagers. Like they depend on villagers for rice and other things. But here, once they were cut off, they were confined to the places where they were already stationed. So because of that, we were able to enter into that area and push them out. And the best thing was that 21-day long Karegutta operation was held. That's Karegutta village, jungle. And in those jungles, we were able to kill about 31 Naxalites. Border of Chhattisgarh and this thing, it was done last year.
Last year.
In the month of May. So that was a turning point when they had to move from there, and they moved out in small groups because they knew now they can't escape the security forces if they continue staying in that particular area. And because they moved out of that area, they went into the trap of Telangana police and the Andhra Pradesh police, and many of them got killed, and even that big leader, Madhvi, he also got killed in that operation. So that is the reason why we were able to get hold on those Naxal and able to crush them completely.
So you've talked about, you've just told us how improved infra helped the security forces, in tackling this particular problem. But what role has technology played in the fight against Naxalism? How are security forces using technology such as drones or even surveillance in their operations?
Of course, drones were brought in about 2-3 years back, but they were not of much help initially because of the dense jungles. And the cameras in these drones could not capture the figures below the foliage. So that was a problem, but only during certain seasons when the foliage is not there, then they were able to get some information. But the best thing is that we were able to get very robust intelligence during the last 2 years, which helped the security forces go to the place where we got the information and then have encounters. And that is how Baswaraju was killed along with 21 others who were with him. It is a great operation. I would say when we have not suffered any casualty, it was a very neat operation that we were able to kill him along with 21 others who were guarding it.
Right. When you speak of intelligence, the intelligence, I'm sure a lot of it comes from the locals, the tribals who live in those areas. So these local tribal communities are often in the crossfire between the security forces and Naxals. What steps have been taken by the government and security forces as well to win over the local tribal communities?
In fact, after the induction of CRPF and other CAPF battalions in that area, the interaction between the villagers and the security forces showed a lot of improvement. And because they were interacting with each other, they were even getting facilities of medical aid and also education. And because of the interaction, people were able to pass on information to the security forces. And they were cut off from the Maoists also.
Right.
Because they were cut off, the Maoists could not get any intelligence about the security forces, while the security forces were able to get all the information about any movement of Maoists in that particular area. So that was a great help because the people were benefited by the development that was taking place. Mobile towers were established in several places, and about 10,000 mobile sets were also given to the villagers by the CRPF. And with all these facilities, now they know what development is. They have been exposed to the world because of the TV channels and also the mobile, and they feel that they have lost a lot of things in the past. Now they have been awakened, and because of that awakening, they are able to now support the security forces and go in for more development.
Right. Before we take this discussion further, let's listen to what Home Minister Amit Shah said in Parliament on fight against Naxalism.
मैं 50 बार कह चुका हूं सार्वजनिक मंचों पर बस्तर में जाकर बस्तर के हर तहसील में जाकर कह चुका हूं हथियार डाल दीजिए सरकार आपके पूरे पुनर्वसन की व्यवस्था करेगी हमारी सरकार का पॉलिसी है चर्चा उसी से होती है जो हथियार डालता है जो गोली चलाता है उसको जवाब गोली से ही दिया जाता है
So an important step in making India Naxal free has been the Modi government's policy of surrender. What steps and initiatives by the government have helped build trust between the government and the Naxals and encourage them to give up a life of arms and join the mainstream?
In fact, all these states which were affected by LWE problem, they all came out with new rehabilitation program. They did have earlier also, but they revised them in such a manner that they appear to be more lucrative for the Maoists who surrender. And that actually allured them so much that they felt they are being given money, they are being given job, they are being given skill training also. And apart from that, the best thing that they will be given houses also to stay. Now, every human being likes to stay as a family, have kids and live together. And that was a great incentive which goaded these people to come out and surrender in a big way. And the Chhattisgarh government, definitely the chief minister, he has done a great job in bringing out new rehabilitation programs mm-hmm. and engaging the surrendered Maoists in cafes also where they have opened cafes, trained them as to how to run a cafe. And now they are successfully running cafes with all these surrendered Naxals working in these cafes. They are employed, they are getting money, they are happy.
So in any operation by the central forces, when they initiate operation between against the Naxals, how important is the coordination between the central forces and local police? And how is it ensured?
Normally what we do is we do not go independently most of the time. At times we take the local police also along with us.
Yes.
And particularly in Chhattisgarh, it was the District Reserve Guard DRG, which was doing a great job because most of the boys in DRG are locals.
Okay.
And because of their being locals, they have the knowledge of the area like the back of their hand. And because of that knowledge, the CRPF and BSF and all were able to carry out operations successfully. And the coordination was definitely superb. There's no problem as such. The officers and the men, they were all working together. And because of that coordination, we were able to achieve success also in that area.
Another step that the government has taken over the years is to, you know, block the funding that these networks, Naxal networks get. So how effective has that been along with the other measures of the government in chipping away the support, in terms of the financial support that these networks get?
In fact, when NIA came into the scene, they recovered about 40 crore rupees from those supporting the Maoists. And the state governments also, they were able to recover about 40 crore rupees from all those who were supporting this movement. So now with the finances dried up, the Maoists have no other alternative but to surrender because their weapons also, majority of them have surrendered with the weapons and they are being paid heavily for the weapon that they surrender. Like LMG, they get more money.
Mm-hmm.
The other SLR, they get less and they have 303 weapons also. They are all being paid for the weapon that is being surrendered by them.
What steps can the government take to ensure that this problem doesn't arise in another, you know, other parts of the country? What steps can the government take to ensure this, that it doesn't happen again?
In fact, since they have a very good rehabilitation program, they need to ensure that whatever they have promised, that is done practically on the ground also. If they get any kind of thoughts that they have been duped or something, then there's a likelihood there will be unrest among them and they can create some problems subsequently. Because not all of them have surrendered. There are some chaps like Mr. Besra in Jharkhand and he has got about 40-50 guys and about 10-20 are there even in Chhattisgarh. So these fellows can approach them and one of them can assume leadership. Because leadership you never know.
Yes.
Somebody suddenly props up as a leader, then he starts off with the movement again and creates problem for the country. So the intelligence network will have to be very solid at all times, very robust so that it does not crop up again. The embers would be there.
Yes.
So we need to ensure that the embers does not turn into a conflagration later.
Mr. Nathaniel, thank you so much for coming to Akashvani Studios and sharing your views and insights on this issue.
Thanks a lot for having me in your studios today. I am much delighted. Thanks again.
Listeners, you can also listen to this program on our mobile app, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. Spotlight.